This is Pastor Emery. The following comments on the Living Bible are edited portions of 4 radio broadcasts out of a series of 15 radio programs I did on the rich man and Lazarus. The first part of this has some bad spots caused by inadvertent damage to the original master. Thank you. Before we complete our Bible study of the rich man and Lazarus, I believe I will take some time out to consider some reading from another book which is masquerading as a Bible under the title of The Living Bible. This book called The Living Bible is now selling in the millions of copies. It came out here several years ago in paperback sections called The Living Prophets, The Living Letters, The Living Gospels, and later it was consolidated into one entire book called The Living Bible. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus starts out in verse 19 of Luke 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And you'll recall that I spent, I believe, most of 2 of these broadcasts showing you significance of the purple and the fine linen. And by following the purple and the fine linen back through the Bible, we were able to show you that this man was representative of the scribes and Pharisees and also compared to Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Well, the Living Bible eliminates any possibility of you making that comparison because it says, quote, "There was a certain rich man," Jesus said, "who was splendidly clothed and lived each day in mirth and luxury." So the words purple and the material fine linen are completely removed from the very first paragraph, and that in itself practically eliminates you from finding any identification of who Christ was talking about when he talked about the rich man. Also in verse 22, where the King James translation reads, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried into Abraham's bosom," Taylor has changed that to read, "Finally, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham in the place of the righteous dead." Well, you see what he's done, of course. He has changed the scripture to fit the false teaching of so-called evangelists and fundamentalists. It does not say righteous dead or even use the word righteous or any Greek word that could be translated righteous in the original manuscripts. The rest of verse 22 and 23 reads in the King James, "The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." And of course, here's this bosom again, showing that it was twice in the original manuscripts. He changed it once to read the place of the righteous dead and left it out the next time completely. The Living Bible reads in the last of verse 22 and verse 23, "The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went into hell. There in torment he saw Lazarus in the far distance with Abraham." Not only did he leave out the word bosom again, but he added the word soul, which is nowhere in the original manuscripts. All marks of identity connecting the rich man with Esau, Edom, or the Pharisees and Babylon have been removed. And they have also inserted the idea in here that Abraham has gone to heaven by putting these words in here that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham in the place of the righteous dead. Of course, I suppose run into a little difficulty because some of the so-called evangelists preach that the Old Testament saints did not go to heaven until after Christ. And then they turn around and preach that the story told by Jesus in Luke 16 was actually about 2 men, that it was already history, that it had already happened, and Lazarus and this man were in these 2 respective places, which of course is contrary to their preaching that Abraham was not in heaven, until after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But their contradictions seem never to bother them, and they just keep right on going and teaching these ungodly things, now even to the extent of writing what they call the Living Bible, which has very little resemblance to the Word of God at all. Some of you may be on the mailing list of the Religious Book Discount House in Grand Rapids, Michigan. They sell a number of translations of the Bible and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books written by men all the way back to several hundred years ago, and they do a tremendous service for Christian people. But in the fall of 1971, I received their list of books, and included in their Bibles was the Living Bible. So I wrote them a letter, and I'd like to read this letter to you in the few minutes remaining. Dear Brother Green, I would inform you of a discrepancy in your aims and statements in your list number 111. You oppose Good News for Modern Man, and rightly so, for changes derogatory to the truth of Jesus Christ. But on the fourth page, you offer for sale the Living Bible by Taylor, the paraphrase. If you have read Taylor's so-called Bible, you know that he inserted the word Jews or Jewish in scores of places where it is not in the original text. The law of God is called by Taylor the Jewish law. The Israelites, Benjamites, who became Christians, are called Jewish Christians. In the letter of James, the words, the 12 tribes scattered abroad, become Jewish Christians everywhere. In some chapters of the New Testament, the word Jew or Jewish has been inserted as many as 20 times where it is not in the original manuscripts. New readers of the Living Bible would conclude the Pharisees were the ones who were converted. In the Old Testament prophecies of a general nature concerning the land of Israel, Taylor has inserted actual names of present-day towns in Jewish-occupied Palestine to make his Bible fit the news of today. This is deception in its rawest form. Taylor's Living Bible is not God's Word, and any reputable Christian bookstore should refuse to handle a so-called Bible which has perhaps hundreds and hundreds of words and phrases added to it by a man or men. And then I close my letter to the Religious Book Discount House with this paragraph. It would probably be of benefit to your organization to have someone make some direct comparison to the King James Authorized Version text. If you do, I am sure you will not handle the book, and I signed it with Christian regards, a friend in Christ, and my name and address. Now, Mr. Green, who is the president of Religious Book Discount House, did not answer my letter. But their next list of books came out along with the comments which he usually made, and in a section titled, Distributing God-Honoring Books Will Do Much, he writes, "The first thing needed to hold back that which is wild and beastly, immoral and immoderate in men is reading of God's Word in its true form. A paraphrase is no good for this purpose, for it will put man's principles into the Bible and thus distort the message God gave us. So get an honest word-for-word translation and read it for yourself." Now, that was the only remark he made there, which I believe was a result of my letter and perhaps letters from others who had recognized that this book, the so-called Living Bible, was actually a deception, a corruption of the Word of God. And I imagine he recognized people would have to be warned about it because the quote, the Living Bible, unquote, is recommended by such evangelists as Billy Graham. About 2 months after that, they sent out a new list of the books that they have for sale, and I'm going to quote Mr. Green and his comments, and here's what he has to say about some of these things. The Living Bible, a paraphrase by Kenneth Taylor. Mr. Taylor boasted to the Associated Press that he had done a rewrite job on the Bible. He did indeed. But as for me and my children, and I hope you and yours, I will still put my trust, my soul, on the words that God the Holy Spirit actually wrote. Yes, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. No, not one whit of reliance will I put in the words which proceeded out of Ken Taylor's mouth. I beg of you, don't propagate this. Now, that's what Mr. Green says about the Living Bible. He ends up saying, I beg of you, don't propagate this. He has some comments to make here on this book, which is also selling millions of copies, titled The Late Great Planet Earth. I've mentioned this a few times as being a corrupted prophecy book that is deceiving millions of Christians. Mr. Green says about this, they say this is a book about prophecy, but it is a pure bunch of bad guesses, though they do give you 39 pages of truth, which is pretended to be the foundation they are building upon. They actually set up the reader for the hit, then they drown him in a barrel of bilge water. You who give it or receive it, beware. And that's a comment from the president of the Religious Book Discount House in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He condemns both the Living Bible and the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. All right, let us turn to a few other passages of Scripture, and I want to show you again how these have been changed by the author of this book called The Living Bible. As an example, I have shown in much of my teaching that Abraham looked forward to the kingdom of God upon the earth. In fact, the kingdom is what Jesus Christ preached about and what was promised to the heirs of Abraham. But we have seen in the story of the rich man and Lazarus that the Living Bible is rewritten to show that Lazarus and Abraham are, quote, in the place of the righteous dead. Now, if you have your King James or other translation, turn with me over to the book of Hebrews. I'll read this out of the King James translation first as to what Abraham looked forward to and what he expected as his reward. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 in the King James reads, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God." Now, in the Living Bible, they said Abraham did this because he was confidently waiting for God to bring him to that strong heavenly city whose designer and builder is God. So they have inserted the word heavenly where it is not in the original text. Then in verse 13, speaking of Abraham and these other men who had already died, the King James translation reads, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." That's in verse 14. And the Greek word translated country very simply means a land. It has a meaning definitely in relation to the earth. And Abraham sought a country. Now you listen to what the Living Bible says, this new so-called paraphrase, which is recommended by Billy Graham. Verse 13 and 14 in that read, "These men of faith I have mentioned died without ever receiving all that God had promised them. But they saw it all awaiting them on ahead and were glad, for they agreed that this earth was not their real home, but that they were just strangers visiting down here." And quite obviously, when they talked like that, they were looking forward to their real home in heaven. Yes, deceivers will actually take the words of God, rewrite them, put the name Bible on them, and sell them to the gullible and deceived Christians. One of the reasons why many of you Christian people simply do not understand the Word of God is that these ministers not only refuse to preach the truth of the King James translation, which is the only authorized version in existence, and when I say authorized version, I mean a version authorized by a king or a ruler in an Israelite nation. We have shown on these broadcasts before that the royal house of England are directly descended from King David, and King James, who authorized the translation of the King James version of the Bible, or the translation, was a direct descendant of David sitting upon the throne of Israel. And 70 men, 70 scholars of both Greek and Hebrew, translated the King James Bible. Most of the misunderstanding of the King James that we have today is not so much the translation as it is a change in the usage and meaning of some of the English words. In other words, there are English words used 300 years ago, which are still used, which have taken on a different meaning. When we get into our detailed discussion and study of hell, I will show you that the English word hell was used in the 1600s to mean a grave or covering up. In fact, they even said when they put on the roof of a house, they were helling the house. They were covering it up. It had no meaning of a place of fire and brimstone. That has been given to it by the corruptors called ministers. And you should realize that most of the men in the pulpits today, of course, are not godly ministers like we had in America 200 and even 300 years ago. The men coming into the pulpits of America today have been trained in deception, and they are able to deceive you. Now, in case you wonder why so many people are buying this so-called Living Bible, if it's not a good one, I'll tell you why. It's because men like Billy Graham recommend that Christians buy it and read it. In the preface of the original publication of the Living Letters, written by Billy Graham, let me read a couple paragraphs. This is Billy Graham, quote, "As I began to read Living Letters, it occurred to me that here was something fresh, a paraphrase of the New Testament letters that speaks the language of the hour. I read with renewed interest and inspiration the age-abiding truths of the Scriptures as though they had come to me direct from the Lord." He ends up his recommendation of the so-called Living Bible by saying, "I believe that these paraphrase epistles communicate the message of Christ to our generation. I pray that your reading them will deepen your spiritual life and give you a new understanding of the Scriptures." And that's signed by Billy Graham. This is a book recommended by Billy Graham in which they have changed even verses where it said that Abraham looked forward to a country. They have changed it to say that Abraham looked forward to his real home in heaven. Is it any wonder why the people today are being deceived about soul and death and hell and heaven? They couldn't deceive you enough by preaching error. They are now actually publishing books, which they call the Bible, and they sell it to you intact with the error written right in it, just as if it were the Word of God. I talked to several bookstores here in the Phoenix area about the Living Bible. They refuse to listen to anything or any criticism of it, and in fact, I understand that many churches are buying them several hundred at a time so that everyone will be reading the so-called Living Bible. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. You write for our January packet of literature, which will include my tract, Where is Your Soul After Death? And also the book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. And tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll continue with a few more comparisons in these Bibles, or so-called Bibles, to the King James Translation, and then we'll finish our study of the rich man and Lazarus. Until then, goodbye. God bless you and Christian America. Thank you. Our interpretation of the rich man and Lazarus has been delayed or forestalled just a little because I got off on the subject of this new book put out called The Living Bible, which is being sold as if it were a Bible and being recommended by many of the churches and so-called evangelists. But I think I'll continue with my comments in showing you the changes they have made in God's Word by this publication called The Living Bible, because as soon as we finish The Rich Man and Lazarus, I'm going to continue right on into a Bible study of the meaning of the word soul and hell and death and the fire and resurrection and so on, and I will be using the King James Bible. Now, one of the reasons I believe the Antichrist has been so diligent in rewriting the Bible is that the Christian people would be alerted that they were being deceived if the enemy tried to take away the Bible from us. And I've had people write to me and say, "Well, Pastor Emery, don't you think the prophecies show that God's Word is actually going to be taken from the people? Won't they come and take our Bibles?" And I tell them, well, yes, the Bible actually prophesies of a time when there will come a famine of hearing of the word, and the Antichrist will fight against the Christian people. But I do not believe they will take our Bibles from us. I believe they will do what they are already doing. They will rewrite books and name them Bibles and give them out by the millions of copies, and God's word will actually be stolen from the people by the substitution of false Bibles. And many Christians, especially the young ones, growing up in churches where these books such as the Living Bible are used, will never have heard the true word of God. All right, turn with me in your King James or whatever translation you have to Jeremiah chapter 23. I want to read some prophecies in Jeremiah about the ministers in the end of the age and what God said they would do to God's people. This entire chapter 23 is a prophecy against false prophets. Verse 1, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. So here God starts out with a prophecy that he's going to do something terrible to them because of what they've done to the people. I won't read the entire chapter. We'll just read a half a dozen verses here. Verse 13 and 14. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Now, one of the things I'm going to show you in our Bible study on soul and hell and death is that the doctrine taught by the so-called fundamentalists is actually the doctrine of Baal worship. So you stay with this program during the next week or two and follow with me, preferably in a King James translation. Verse 14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. In other words, they live and preach and teach lies to the people. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers. Now this is literally being fulfilled in America. As you can see, most ministers do not oppose the treason and anti-Christian activities of our own government leaders. In other words, they cover up for them, and they hide it from you. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. And we'll see that more clearly as we get into the story of hell and the lake of fire and so on, because the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, as you know, were burned up in a fire. Verse 26, How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, in other words, their false ideas, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Verse 30, Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one, from his neighbor. Now, how do they steal God's word from you? By coming in your home and taking your Bible away from you? No, by preaching from what they call Bibles, but actually preaching false doctrines and the doctrines of Baal. And in that manner, they prevent you from learning the Word of God. The Word of God has, in effect, been stolen from you. All right, now if you'll turn to the New Testament in your King James Bible and follow with me, I'm going to read a few verses in the King James and then show you how they have been changed in this so-called Living Bible in the rather successful attempt to actually steal God's word from the people. Galatians 3 and verse 6 is a very, very familiar verse to old-time Christians who had a lot of preaching on faith. It says, Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Here's what they've done with it in the Living Bible. Quote, Abraham had the same experience. God declared him fit for heaven only because he believed God's promises. In other words, they insinuate in that very familiar verse that Abraham was fit for heaven. Yet nowhere in the Holy Scripture, in the true Word of God, is it prophesied or promised to Abraham that he would ever go to heaven. Turn with me to James, or perhaps you know this verse by yourself. In the King James, the letter is addressed to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In the Living Bible, they have changed that to read, to Jewish Christians scattered everywhere. Of course, if you study your Bible, you know there ain't no such animal as a Jewish Christian today. The word Jew or Jewish has a religious meaning today. It means the followers of the religion called Judaism. This is the generally understood meaning of the word. So if a person is called a Jewish Christian, it is an anomaly because it means two different religions. Which one is he following? And perhaps you people should question anyone who goes under that name. Turn to the letter to the Romans. Paul was writing to the church at Rome, the believers. In chapter 7 of Romans, he writes to them, Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, you would not know who these people were, except you possibly would assume they were Israelites, because Paul had said he wrote to them who know the law. Well, in the Living Bible, they have changed that to read, Don't you understand yet, dear Jewish brothers in Christ, that when a person dies, the law no longer holds him in its power? So they have inserted the word Jewish in there where it is not, just as they have done scores of times in the New Testament. Turn with me to the prophets. Turn to Daniel 7, and we'll discuss a few of these. Perhaps we'll have to follow up with this tomorrow. But I want to show you how the Living Bible has changed the Word of God to read different than it reads in the King James translation, and perhaps convince many of you people that you should not use the Living Bible, and anyone who uses it or recommends it should come under suspicion for changing the Word of God. Daniel 7, in verse 25, speaking of the 11th horn, which is often called the Antichrist by the fundamentalists, I read in the King James translation, And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now the Living Bible changes this to read, He will defy the Most High God and wear down the saints with persecution and try to change all laws, morals, and customs. And then the last part of it, instead of reading time, times, and the dividing of time, reads, God's people will be helpless in his hands for 3.5 years. Well, now you have to interpret the time indicated in the Word of God as time, times, and a dividing of time by the Bible itself. Many of us do not believe it means 3.5 years at all. But the fundamentalists teach that it means 3.5 years, so they now, in order to get their teaching into the minds of a new generation of young people, they have actually changed it to read 3.5 years. In Daniel 8 and verse 26, and this is another explanation of one of Daniel's visions, the King James Version reads, And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true, wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. The Living Bible writers have changed that to read, And then in your vision you heard about the 1150 days to pass before the rites of worship are restored. This number is literal and means just that. They have inserted the number and word 1150 days, which is not in the original text, and then to be sure you believe it to be literal days, they insert this sentence, This number is literal and means just that. which sentence is not in the King James nor in the original Hebrew text. What is this? Well, this is the rawest form of deception and changing the Word of God. Now, I'm spending all this time on the Living Bible in the hopes that my people who listen to this broadcast will not attempt to follow me and my Bible teaching by using such a corrupted text as the Living Bible. No, brother, sister, you use the King James or one of the older translations. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. My time is gone today. You listen tomorrow. We'll continue a little further in some comparisons with the Living Bible, and then we'll get back to the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Until tomorrow, goodbye. God bless you and Christian America. Thank you. Right in the middle of my teaching on the rich man and Lazarus, we have stopped to talk to you about a so-called Bible called the Living Bible. And I think that this is pertinent because I think this will help explain to you the reason I say ministers hide the word from you, including hiding the truth of the rich man and Lazarus. In fact, most of these people are not ministers of God at all, but are actually false prophets. And I'm attempting to prove from my showing you how false this so-called The Living Bible is, that there really are people in America, in the pulpits, in the seminaries, who do not want you to learn the truth of God's Word. And that's the reason they don't preach the truth of the rich man and Lazarus to you, and that is the reason they have come up with these other translations. We have a prophecy dating all the way back to Jeremiah that it would be the ministers in the end of the age who would actually steal the Word of God from God's people. Too many Americans have been convinced that the only way the Word of God is going to be taken from them is for some Antichrist or communist government to come to their homes or churches and take their Bibles away from them. No, Satan is more devious and more cunning than that. He doesn't take your Bible from you. He gives you another one, which is not God's Word. Remember how Satan deceived Eve? He did not deceive Eve by arguing with her that there was no God or that God hadn't spoken to her. He, in effect, just said, well, Eve, God didn't quite say that. He said it this way, and then he quoted God erroneously, wrongly, falsely, just exactly as Jeremiah was given to say back in Jeremiah 23, that these people would cause his people Israel to err by preaching lies. All right, turn again to Daniel in your King James Bible, and I'll read some verses from Daniel again and then show you how they are now written in this so-called Living Bible. The 70-week prophecy is given, as you know, in Daniel 9, in verse 24 through 27. And many of us, of course, do not go along with the so-called fundamentalist futurist interpretation of the 69th and 70th week of Daniel. But be that as it may, let me show you how they have changed this to fit their teaching rather than what the Bible actually says. Verse 27 of Daniel 9 says in the King James, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Now, in the Living Bible, they have changed this to read, "This king will make a 7-year treaty with his people, but after half that time he will break his pledge and stop the Jews from all their sacrifices and their offerings." Well, now what he has done, he has actually written in there the fundamentalist erroneous doctrine that the Antichrist is going to rule and make a 7-year covenant with the Jews. No, if you read the King James, it's not too hard to realize that it is Christ who is confirming the covenant with the house of Israel. They say it's an Antichrist, and they have inserted the word king in the Living Bible. They have changed the word week to read 7-year treaty, and they have inserted the word Jews in the talk of the ending of the sacrifice and the oblation. Many of us know that the men of the Reformation taught that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, ended the sacrifice and the oblation. These men teach that a great Antichrist of the future will rule over the Jews and will cause them to end their sacrifices. The Living Bible goes on the last part of it, and then as a climax to all his terrible deeds, the enemy shall utterly defile the sanctuary of God. But in God's time and plan, his judgment will be poured out upon this evil one. Well, that isn't what the King James says at all. In chapter 11 of Daniel, we have this vision given to Daniel of these kings and the movement of the armies and so on. But in verse 41 of the King James translation, I read, speaking of this man who's in charge of all of these Antichrist military forces at that time, he shall enter into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. In the Living Bible, they have it read, he will invade various lands on the way, including Israel, the pleasant land. Now, the word Israel is not in the King James Bible at all. All it says in the King James is he'll enter into the glorious land. In verse 45, the King James says of this man and his armies, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. In the Living Bible, it says, quote, he will halt between Jerusalem and the sea. You see what they have done? They have changed the word glorious holy mountain into the name Jerusalem. The glorious holy mountain, of course, we understand, is the kingdom nation of God upon the earth, the end time kingdom nation. And they have changed this, hopefully, I suppose, for themselves, to fit present day news about the Jews in Palestine. Turn to the prophet Joel. In Joel 2 and 3 is a story, prophecy, of a great battle. We would have to assume that this battle is the battle at the end of the age, because no war has ever seemed to fulfill the prophecy given to Joel. But Joel 2 and verse 20, speaking of the destruction of the enemy's armies, says in the King James, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. They have changed this to read, quote, I will remove these armies from the north and send them away. I will turn them back into the parched wastelands where they will die. Half shall be driven into the Dead Sea, and the rest into the Mediterranean. So these corruptors of God's word have inserted the names Dead Sea and the Mediterranean in here where they are not in the original text at all. And yet they say, oh, this is just a paraphrase. This is really God's word, and the Living Bible is promoted by most of the so-called evangelists, including one of the best-known ones, Billy Graham. Turn to the prophet Obadiah. For we read part of that several days ago, showing you that that was a prophecy about Edom and his destruction by the house of Israel. And as I had shown you, Edom was actually the descendants of Esau and the Canaanites, and were the enemies of the house of Israel. Well, in order to make the Living Bible fit the events in old Palestine, they have actually added names over there which are not in the King James Bible at all. As an example, in verse 20 of the King James, it says, the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. Well, now you listen to what they have done with that verse in the so-called Living Bible. It starts out, the Israeli exiles. So you see, instead of the words, the children of Israel, they have substituted the modern name for the Jews who live in Palestine. The Israeli exiles shall return and occupy the Phoenician coastal strip as far north as Zarephath. Those exiled in Asia Minor shall return to their homeland and conquer Negev's outlying villages. Well, that's what happened in 1967. The word Negev, the name Negev, is not in the King James at all, but it happens to be an area conquered by the Jews or the Israelis in 1967. So these writers of this book called The Living Bible have written in names over in Old Palestine in these old prophets. For what purpose? To teach you the Bible? To teach you the Word of God? Nonsense! Anyone who changes the Word of God would do it for the same reason that Satan changed the Word of God when he talked to Eve, to deceive and seduce them, to fool them, to get them to do something that is not according to the Word of God. One of the most blatant changes in the Old Testament that I have found, and by the way, I've only read a few chapters in this. I have not searched this so-called Living Bible except a matter of a few hours. But in Zephaniah 3, there is a prophecy of what God would do in the end of the age. In verse 8, we recognize it is the end of the age because he says, "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey." Now, I'm reading this from the King James. "For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." And we've shown you this in a number of Bible studies. This is obviously the end of the age and what God will do in this last battle. The next verse in the King James reads, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." Now, we have shown you that we believe this happens to be the English language because the English language is rapidly becoming a common language all over the world. And the implication here is that this is something that would happen at the end of the age, so all people, the entire world, would bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. They have changed verse 9 to read this, quote, "At that time I will change the speech of my returning people to pure Hebrew, so that all can worship the Lord together." That is not what the original text says. The original text says God will turn to them a pure language. They have inserted the word Hebrew where the word Hebrew is not in the text. Well, of course, that gives the impetus to the teaching today that, well, the Jews are going back to the land and they're learning Hebrew. Now, most people are not told by their ministers the truth that the Jews do not speak Hebrew, but Yiddish. And Yiddish is a corrupted German. Very few Jews speak Hebrew. A few of them are supposedly learning it in universities over in Palestine, but the universities over there are complaining that most Jews have no desire to learn Hebrew. But these people have inserted the word Hebrew in here because then it fits their teaching that the Jews are God's Israel people. Are these the age-abiding truths of the Scriptures? As Billy Graham says, the Living Bible is? Nonsense. And my time is up. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. You listen tomorrow when I return, Lord willing. Until then, goodbye. God bless you and Christian America.